It is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast. It is 8 p.m. in the Middle East. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. Today is March 30th, 2015, and on BBS Radio, we're going to talk about the situation in the Middle East. We're going to cover the upcoming events in Geneva, of course, and the solution, resolution, and the accords in Iran. And we're going to talk about, is there a two-state solution in the Middle East, or we are just going to, forget about the whole thing. There are so many things that we want to talk about, and I wanted to start from the least, to the heavy, from the lightweight to the heavy, because the lightweight you can understand better because you're familiar with the subject, you understand the argument, and you know it forever, so it will be easy. I found a segment about Benjamin Netanyahu comments and the reply of one of the comedian, which was proper and, insightful. And I want to explain it, and maybe we can get over that to the next argument after that. Let's have it. Let's have that comedian.
I'm John Oliver. Thank you for being with us. Just time for a quick recap of the week, and we begin in Israel. Drama-wise, the opposite of Canada. Now, Israel had their election this week, and despite being behind in the polls, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party won resoundingly, which some credited Netanyahu's last-minute swing to the even farther right.
The Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday said on his watch, there's not going to be a Palestine, there's not going to be a two-state solution.
Wow. Okay. So, no two-state solution then, but hold on, let's not jump to conclusions. Maybe he only said that because he's planning on a three-state solution. Israel, Palestine, and bonus Palestine. We don't know. We don't know for sure. But look, let's accept that in part, due to that promise, Netanyahu looks like he's here to stay. The problem that he now has is, how is he going to convince the U.S. that he's a credible partner for negotiation, given that he explicitly said he would not allow a two-state solution, but only a one-state solution?
I don't want a one-state solution. I want a sustainable, peaceful two-state solution, but for that, circumstances have to change.
Now, that's pretty impressive, because that is a Michael Jackson level of walking backwards. He just demonstrated the verbal gymnastics of a guy caught being too honest on his first date. I don't want kids. Wait, hold on. You want kids? I love kids! And in the right circumstances, I could absolutely see myself having them. I never said I don't want kids. This is why what Netanyahu just said is so amazing. He was trying to escape something that he'd said that had left him almost no wiggle room.
Asked if that meant there would be no Palestinian state if you were to continue as prime minister, Netanyahu responded, correct.
How do you get out of that? It's impossible. I've got to say, if he somehow escapes this, he should go on the road as Netanyahu Dini. Words cannot hold him. But let's move on to Starbucks, the acoustic Alanis Morissette album with a...
Well, I think that we need to give it to Netanyahu that it doesn't jiggle and make mistakes like that. He's definitely much cleverer and smarter than that. The fact that he said correct, he probably was just thinking, agreeing with the speaker. Let's talk about two-state solution. What is the two-state solution? It is the idea that Israel and Palestine, first of all, we have to dismantle that idea completely because Israel exists. There is no two-state solution. The solution of one does not depend on the existence of the other. If you even consider the fact that Israel is a fait accompli, you know that there is no two-state solution. So we are trying to dismiss all the vague, unclear arguments. So let me repeat it to you. There is no two-state solution because Israel is a state. There is no solution for Israel. Israel is a fait accompli. There is no argument if one depends on the other because Israel is a state. So two-state solution encompass an oxymoron because it does not exist. That idea cannot exist if you try to think about it. All right, so let's talk about a Palestinian state that he agreed, Netanyahu agreed per se already in the past of the right of the Palestinian to have entity, to have a liberty, to have a commerce, to have a life, to children to go to school. Everybody agreed with it. So we, you know, in 2006 gave the Palestinian the ultimate thing that nobody ever gave them. We gave them land. We gave them Gaza. Gaza was a place where many settlers, you can call them pioneers, like the pioneers, who believe that it's a part of Israel, went and settled. And Israel gave up that settlement. They gave up all those settlements in order to establish an entity, you know, Palestinian courts, you know, a Palestinian state. And what happened in there? The Hamas took over, the PLO got defeated and ran out of town, and many were killed, and, you know, UNRWA, the ultimate organization to keep Palestinians in refugee camp, is settled there and to bring money and money again and again. And what happened? We still have them in refugee camps in their own territory. We don't have a normal livelihood, of course. And instead of regular life, hospitals, schools, and factories, and hotels, and whatever, they started to shoot up out of the country missile to Israel. That was the nice response after giving up land. You know, even in negotiation, you give up land, you get something, you have to hold on to it, show that you're good for it, show the good faith, and keep on going. Right now, we have Gaza in shambles, of course, from the last war of August 2014. And that war, you know, gave them the opportunity to recreate themselves again, because what happened, they got $50 billion of money donated to them to reestablish an actual state or some entity. Are they going to do that? We don't know. Are they going to invest in tunnels? We don't know. Are they going to start talking like normal, or are they going to go to the UN? I don't think so, because right now the Russian took over that negotiation and told them they're going to take care of business. Once Russians are in the game, it means that the trusted friend of America is not going to be the leading in the negotiation, and they're actually not a partial you know, they don't side with nobody, and the American got out of the game, I guess, in this one too, in some form. You know, we're going to take a break, and we're going to go to music, and after that, I'm going to talk about leading from behind, like America wants to do, and how we're going to turn the events for American favor, because America deserves it, and America is the leader of the free world, the free world. I don't care about any other leader. There is no leader of the free world if it's not America. And whoever you are, whoever position you're holding, you're still not America. And America has the right to come. She gave the sacrifice. She gave all what she had in the last years to battle, combat terrorism, or whatever you guys have to say against America, you have to remember, we owe so much to her. So after that, we're going to come and start thinking how America is going to take back control, but in the way she wants, leading from the back, giving some, you know, her investment, the opportunity to actually come to fruition. Okay? Give me some music and we'll be right back. All right, and we are back. I know it's morning in California. Wow, sunshine. I miss the sunshine in California. So I don't want that music to be too loud for you in the morning. I want to tell you that it's 8 p.m. here, but we are actually in news time in Israel. And whatever I have to do with the news, we in Israel are updated every hour. It's like a routine. It's something that we know everything, what's going on constantly, because the threat is always imminent. It's always there. Now, what's happening in the Middle East? In the last few days, we saw that Yemen, that was taken by the hostile forces, and the president got ousted out of place, become to be destabilized in the area, and the Saudis decided to make a coalition of their own and decided to attack Yemen to make sure that the Iranian forces are not going to take control over Yemen, because it's in the southern border of the Saudis. And truth of the matter is that the Iranian talk in Geneva right now are the best decoy method that I ever seen in the recent history, in my view, for taking over the world. Just imagine, you get all the forces of the world coming to talk to you while you're taking over the world, you know, through your proxy. So you got the Syrian, you got the Lebanese, of course, Hezbollah, you get those al-Nusra that are in Jordanian and in the border too close to call for Israel. And you got in Egypt, of course, in Sinai, and you got in Yemen, the Saudis are freaking out, and they decide to go to war. Now, what happened? They decided to collect all their forces and make a coalition of 18 countries. We don't know exactly where are those countries, but 18 countries are coming to play, and they are going to march 400,000 soldiers toward, you know, to stop Iran, toward up, you know, to the north. You know, if anybody knows history, this is a recipe for disasters. America is absent. America is actually trying to deal with Iran on the negotiation table, that it's the best decoy, because they're actually playing elsewhere. This is only a maneuver. They're sending the people outside, talk to them, keep them busy. And how? What they're doing, they're trying to take over the world. The other side, the Saudis, sees that nobody's doing anything, so they decide to take responsibility and do themselves. Fine, nobody complain about this, but let's remember, whoever is leading the pack is not Saudis. They are not supposed to be Saudis, because Saudis has very vague interest against the Shiites. We are not anti or pro anybody. We want world peace, as we say. America is not going to create a coalition to destroy the world. America is making a coalition to save the world. That's the last time I checked. Of course, many people will say, yeah, right, Orly, they destroy the world. You know, send the Marine and they'll show you what they have to do. Yeah, I know some Marines and they'll do that. They will destroy everything in their path if you stop them. That's America. That's the most powerful army in the world. What's not to understand? And you guys undermined America in all those years? Are you kidding me? Did you ever think that this is the way you want to go? Iran, you think you're playing with America? Yemen? That's where you're going to settle. Turkey is coming to play. Oh, and what side, darling? Are you going to have the path from Syria to Iraq empty by now, or your soldiers are still assisting those militia? What America needs to do is to create a plan of attack, not just to make sure that, you know, those soldiers don't just go up. They need to settle. It means that that negotiation table that Mr. Kerry is holding right now in Switzerland, by the way, can be the setup, the best setup to solve the situation. Tell them to pull their forces from all over the Middle East. You're there on a negotiation table. Stop a minute. Remember, they're sending army, they're sending armament, they're recruiting troops. You are on the negotiation table and they are outplaying us by maneuvering the soldiers. It's like America will go and attack Iran in the back while they are on the negotiation table. I don't see that happening. So if we want to fix, if America wants to do right for itself and get to be the most credible forces in the universe, like she always is, make it right. Take control. Get all of them to agree that they must pull their goons out of the region, or else. Now, or else it means that you're going to just unleash the power to destroy. But do you, we don't want that, because we're going to end up with whatever they're going to take over. You know, we need the balance of power. So everybody is supposed to go back to their places and make sure that nobody is taking over anything. And if they talk occupation and they remind you again the Palestinian, please tell them to go back to Gaza, settle in Gaza, then come talk to us, because we're all tired. We're all tired of this issue that ever solved, and nobody ever call them to account what they did with their money, what they're doing with their people, and why they're creating tunnels. So America can take control, get the coalition, and make your world government started. Let's go to some music, and then we'll be right back. And I won't give up on us. I won't give up on you, America. I won't give up on you, Israel. I won't give up on you, world. You are the creation of the best that we could have come after the destruction of the Second World War. We are not going to go back. We are going to keep it up. Of course, it's not easy. Of course, it's time of challenge. But right now, we're not going to give up, and we're going to lead. We're going to take charge, and we are going to be okay. We are going to listen to some segment now to tell you what is not working again, and I'll have to come back and tell you it's going to be okay again. So let's listen to some of the regular news. Well, it was too serious for us. We had to come back. Replica of the East Room. All right. I never been in the White House, even though I got a pass once, I must confess. I received a pass to visit. That's when they still gave, all those passes to come. But, they did give it to my beloved husband. So I had to pass. So I never got to visit the White House. All right, too bad. But, when you give a present, you can't leave your husband behind. What can you do? It's life. All right, I guess that they managed without me all those years, actually. I looked at a picture near the White House and I see that, you know, I was so close, but now these days you can't even get close because of all the security. And the security are driving us nuts because what happened is we don't trust nobody. You look, you go through the gate, you metal detector, do you have earrings, do you have necklace? You need to take off everything. Oh my God, I need to take off my shoes, my high heels, my boots, everything. Okay, your jacket, you know, and if, you know, and yeah, and you see everybody's looking or not looking, you feel so cautious. But, you know, it's a part of the game. I'm sure that one day they're going to start, they'll invent something. They'll invent something that will make terrorism impossible. That's our next goal. How to detect terrorism? You can't, but we can surely make sure that there is not a safe haven for them. Remember, no safe haven for pirates. Let us to win over them. Terrorists are like pirates, but only on the ground. So we have to push them. But let's not push them over to the sea because they are, you know, there is some dangers over there too. So we need to decide how to bring them back to society, how life is going to be better with them, actually a part of it. And it's going to be probably in education. Now let's talk about education because it's something that's really close and important to me. And one thing I must confess, if you guys think that everybody in the world can understand each other if they speak the same language, I must reply to you for the immense time that it's not. You speak the same language, you don't speak the same culture, you don't understand each other. You can say, I love you, but in, you know, in America, we say, I love you. And in Italy, I love you. Oh, my God, you love me. No, different. There are differences. You need to remember that we need to understand each other culturally. And it's all new language. So when they, Oxford, whoever writes languages, please give me introduction to Italian culture, introduction to Spanish culture, introduction to American culture. Now, in the academia, we need to have introduction to American Academy. Now, why? Because I'm starting to understand that, you know, I'm in Israeli Academy and I cannot understand the way they talk in their concept. Even though I think, you know, that I'm a pretty smart girl, I can understand pretty many languages and it's bothered me to understand, to realize that in the text, when they start asking questions, don't get what they want. When they ask questions that you don't understand what they're saying, it means that you didn't understand the culture. So that's the problem. We have to have books to start explaining. That's a need. The culture, the American culture, and what's his democracy? You know, when you talk about democracy, they think, oh, you get an election. Okay, let them elect their official freely. What happened with Palestine? They elected a terrorist organization. Of course, America is responsible because she let them run as a political party before the political party was created as a democratic, you know, and it doesn't have on his platform, oh, destruction of Israel. Oh, like the item that the Iranian don't want to wipe from their agreement right now. It's like, wipe Israel off the map. No, no, you cannot have that title. Well, we want it. That's, it's not no deal. Well, too bad. No deal. Cannot destroy Israel, because it's not up to you. It's not up to anybody these days. And everybody who thinks that, you know, we're in control, I want them to remember there is a God, and it's not us. So when God wants something, it's up to him. He created this people, brought and liberated from Egypt. So this is a great, great, great sentence that I just came to mind. We are at the eve of Passover. Passover celebrate the exodus of the Jewish people from the bondage and liberated from Egypt. The Egyptian really made us slaves for many, many years who lived there. And we had a really, really hard time. And this celebration that we celebrate on Passover represents all the hard time. So remember, we got liberated once because God wanted. He sent us a messenger. You know, he sends the messenger every so often. And people say, well, the Messiah. Yeah, it was. Moses was a messenger of God. We all know that. Moses brought also the rule of conduct before. You know, it's very nice because what happens is Moses understood the rules of God and he brought it to the people of Israel. Now, the people of Israel understood themselves and not really, they don't really like all the rules that God, you know, was sending them to achieve. So again, they had a hard time. And then they came to the land, they built a temple, and it got destroyed because they didn't know how to manage God's rule. God's culture. If you want to be a godly nation, you need to create everything in a godly manner. Didn't. They were sent to the diaspora. After 2,000 years that they were in the diaspora, they came back again. Well, let's repeat. Let's make correction. We got the one temple destroyed, went to the diaspora a few years, God, you know, felt sorry, help them, send them back, had a messenger to help them build the second temple. But the second temple did not have God's Shekhinah, God's dwelling upon that. So it wasn't really a house of God. It was a house for God, but God did not welcome it. So sure enough, it got destroyed. And they went back to the diaspora, 2,000 years off, pushing them around, getting them to the road of, you know, of no place like home. And they finally realized, hey, we need a house. Those anti-Semites, that's what they call them today, but those anti-Jews, those anti-Hebrews, those anti-Israelites, they're all over the place. They don't want us. Why they don't want us? Because we represent the law of God. You know, every religious person that in the world can feel when somebody is hostile to him. Well, like every other human being can feel it. And every time you stand for God, you will find that person that is against God and cannot stand the sight of God around it. So that's where the friction goes. Now, Israel is a nation that's supposed to stand with God. Any frictions around it, it's for anti-godly people. People who don't respect God's wish. Now you would say, of course we do. We're a different religion. If you're a different religion, you respect the creation of God, right? It means that you're a different religion, you created another religion, you respect their, you know, his creation. So if you're Jewish or Christian, you respect each other. Understood. What happened to the Muslims? The Muslims do not respect any other religion. Why? They don't believe in the God of, well, I don't know what they believe in. They believe in their God. Now, I want to be correct here, and I want to be sensitive here, and I want to be very, very loving toward my Muslim half-brothers, okay? The fact that we are brother represents that we come from the same father as Abraham. So we have the Judeo-Christian tradition, and then we have the Muslim. Now we have a coalition. But for some reason, they decide that the Judeo-Christian cannot exist. It's like, I own my father, you are not their child. Well, we are. No, you don't. Well, that's our name. We are the children of Israel. And, you know, the Christian are children from the Judeo-Christian tradition. No, they call us infidel. So once you have this tradition that doesn't respect other people, I don't think they need to accept respect. You ask for respect. You ask to be respected. You should respect us. So let's go to the Palestinian. They don't accept the Jewish state. Why? They don't accept the Jewish state. No state for the Jewish people. Well, too bad. You want what? You want your right, you want existence, you want to be like, you know what? To go get one, because we are so sorry. We're all fed up with your attitude. We are, you know, discouragement, whatever. You're wasting money on bombshells. You don't want to respect our existence. So that is how we learn from our tradition. That when we liberate, when God sent Moses, he sent us to give us the rule of God. The rule of God is we are back here now, 2,000 years after, and God is here, and this is the week of Passover. We remember the rules of God again, and we want to be coherent with him, and we want to respect all his children. But they have to accept us as human. As Adam and Eve, human. Let's go to some music. And we are back, and this is BBS Radio, and it's Studio One, and this is Orly Benny Davis on The Impossible Truth. The Impossible Truth, it means that we are actually facing the truth, and we're telling it as it is. And we're doing our best, of course, to gather the information, and I try to give you a regular perspective of somebody who has a voice, who wants to say it, and make sure that everybody has one too. However, I don't like to be pushed around, and I don't like to be told that, you know, I cannot exist while the other should exist. Like the Jewish state should not be a Jewish state, but the Palestinians, sure, they should have a thing. Give me a break. No, not happening. Now, we have a very, very nice, handsome man that was sent to the region just yesterday or the other day. His name is Richard Gere. Guys, Richard Gere is in town, in Tel Aviv. Can you imagine what a glorious week we must have when Richard Gere, the guy that went to China and went to help the Buddhists over their, catastrophic, situation, Thailand, and now he's trying to help the Palestinian Israeli. Now, let me tell you also that he's making a movie that is going to be a best movie, only if he comes and talks to me, because I'm the lucky charm. To everybody who knows it, they know I'm the lucky charm. Now, what Richard Gere is going to do is going to speak to some people trying to force us to understand the Palestinian. I want Richard Gere to talk to me. I am really, you guys in Hollywood, make a phone call. Call them. Tell them Orly Benny Davis wants to meet you and want to give you one real perspective of humanity and the Palestinian state and the Jewish existence. You understand? We didn't come 2,000 years and from the diaspora to create a wonderful, incredible, vibrant economy, beautiful society, beautiful energy, great agriculture ideas, developing ideas of high-tech that maneuver the whole world for somebody who said, no, we want to destroy them. Iran, get a grip. You are not going to destroy Israel. It's history already in the making. We want that story already. We've been there. There is a story of Astor that says, you know, Iran tried to destroy the Jewish people. They didn't work. Now to try again. Well, read history. History repeats itself. You're not going to win. There's going to be some kind of resolution. So, Richard Gere, if you want to come and talk to me, oh, God, I will make you understand that existence of one cannot be on behalf of the other or in place of the other. I want to have my own homeland. Now, anytime that say that we occupied Palestine, we just have to remind them that without us, it was desolated. This is a mother hurt of the Jewish people that will not flourish for anybody else but Israel. It's a fact. It's a miracle in the making. It's the constant existence that everybody knows, that history, you know, every time they left the land, it was, abandoned and it was in shambles. Jerusalem, the same. Now, Jerusalem is the one that we had to pay attention to because it's the only city of all. And we are not giving it its respect. We still didn't recognize Jerusalem as the capital of the Jewish state, as the only city of all. Let's go to a break for a few seconds, and we'll be right back. And we're going to talk to Jerusalem, and we're going to pray together to have a wonderful, wonderful resolution on the UN, U.S. And we are back, and this is Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio, and this is Monday. Guys, I hope you have a great start to a new week. We were talking about the existence of the Jewish state and how Palestinians don't want to recognize the Jewish state, but they still want a state of their own. Now, how they can recognize a Jewish state, to say that, Benjamin Netanyahu will make it easy for them, they will say, I agree that there is a Israel is a Jewish state, and you will sign up with them. No, I'm sorry, I am not that easy. For me, I got a God of Israel that I need to honor, and the honor is not there yet. It means if you agree that I am here in the Jewish land, the Jewish state, the state of Israel, in the Holy Land, I need to make this place holy. And I cannot make it holy without the temple of God. And I'm so sorry you built one, mosque for the girls on top of my holy site, but by all means, it wasn't your site to own. And because of that, you need to just remember that you are on our holy grounds. You need to respect that. Now, in order for you to respect the idea of a Jewish state, you need to respect the idea that there was a temple. And if there was a temple, it was on that side that you are actually holding in the hand of the Jordanian Waqf that gave it to some bizarre entity that acts up, screams, and create a shamble in a holy site. So let's put everything in perspective, world. The world right now is working, just to zip everybody up to make sure that, no fighting, no screaming. No. You cannot overcome reality, truthfulness, honesty, and godliness. And you know what? You, whoever you are in Chicago, the head of NOI, the one that tried to put bad stuff in the ear of the president of the United States, I call you off in 1996 to stay off the back of the holy people, and you are back again. And I'm not mentioning his name because I'm not giving him any respect, and he is not the man to respect. And all Muslims the one, the brothers of the sons of Abraham, whoever I respect, know that Abraham had another son. So if you don't accept your own brothers, who you can really accept? Nobody. So let's start again. We are brothers and sisters. This is brotherhood of men. This is the world God created for us to inhabit it. Now, all those people who are sitting right now in Geneva trying to make a settlement, they need to understand that they are doing God's work because they are keeping that bad regime off the world back. Terrorism is the enemy of humanity. They don't want to advance. They want to destroy. And you know what they want to destroy? They want to destroy the belief in something beautiful like love, like God. They want to destroy all your hope that God exists, to, you know, to trash everything. And that's what they're making, you know, to trash every holiness by creating a zombie world. Don't let them, you know, create your holy site, create your holy area. Pray to God, and let's pray all together, whoever you are, and whoever you are in the world, please, let's pray together that God give us the wisdom, the light, the fortitude, the strong, the will, and the courage to resolve all what we have in between us, and to remember we are people for people under one God. And we love each other because we are human, and the creation of one make the other one worthwhile. It's worth living. Without the other, we are nothing because we will be desolated. We need each other. We need each other, and we love each other because God created us. And create your zone of healing, of willingness to accept what God give you. And after you do that, you can see in the light, you can see the love, and you can focus on your giving to the world as you receive it. Just remember, it's all for you. It was created for you. Like this show was created from no place, and it was created for God's sake and for your sake, because you are God's creation. So just remember, you're loved, you're strong, you are, you know, you can do anything. And America, that America that I love, that America that I found when I was young, still there. Please bring her back. Bring that spirit of life, of joy, and in God we trust, in all of us. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this is BBS Radio on Impossible Truth. I wanted to salute you here and remind you that the wind of change are in the way. There will be a world, and the world will give respect to every humanity. There is a day that comes around that we build again, and we just stop fighting each other. That's the vision, and that's where it's all going to start, when you're going to give it up to God and do everything you can to make yourself worthy, make your soul worthy of the soul He gave you. And please be safe in the sky, be safe in the sea, be safe on land, be safe on train, be safe in your car, be safe everywhere. And be nice to the children because they're God's creation. Give them grace. Teach them well. Teach them well. God bless you all. This is Orly Benny Davis, and I love you all, and I wish you have a wonderful Passover for all my Jewish friends all over the world. And you have the exodus of freedom that you need in this world. And peace, please, God, have mercy on all of us. And see you. Talk to you later. Until next week, this is Orly Benny Davis. 10-4. God bless you.